it's great to be back with you and leaving here. I've just listened to you singing there, and I must say that's wonderful singing. I can see that you all enjoy singing here. Right, we're going to come to God's Word and come to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, and we'll read at verse 33. Luke chapter 23, and reading at verse 23. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which hanged nailed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. And the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man have done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And we'll just commend the reading of God's word. The message I have tonight is the key message of the Bible, and that is Jesus Christ crucified on the cross, as we've read here. I want to think about the Christ crucified here. I want to think about who is the Lord Jesus Christ that was crucified here? Who is this man? And then I want to think about the two malefactors on the cross, as we've read. One was saved, one was lost. One accepted Christ, one rejected Christ. So first of all, I want to think about, it says, when we come to a place called Calvary, there they crucified him. And I want to think about Lord Jesus Christ. He was God's Son. He was creator of the world. And in John chapter 1 it says, All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in Hebrews it says that God, who at sundry times and divers manners, speaking in times past unto us through prophets, have in these days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he hath made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and is holding all things by the word of his power. So we're reading here that the Lord Jesus, he was the key to creation. He was there with God in the beginning. And what I believe, the message I want to tell you about tonight is a God that created the world in 6 days. We believe that, we hear all about it, we hear in schools, we hear in the news of this message of evolution. But it was a big bang, and the world suddenly came into being, but that's not the message of the Bible. The message of the Bible is a God that created the worlds. And that's the message we want to preach tonight, because that's the key to why we come to this verse here. The key to why God's Son would come, and he would die on Calvary's cross here, that he would allow himself to be taken there. It says also in the verse, where they crucified him. So who is the they? Well, it's the Jews. The Jews were looking for this great Messiah, but when he came, they rejected him, and they crucified him on the cross. And that's what we have here in verse 33. But why would he come? Why would the Son of God come? Why would the Lord Jesus come? Well, this is what I tell you about tonight, is that Lord Jesus came because he's a God of love. And what we hear in verse 34, he's been hung to a tree. And I was actually off at the Bible exhibition in Aberdeen yesterday, and there, as part of that exhibition, what they have is they have these sort of forms from Israel, and it's a sharp, real sharp forms. And what they did there was they pushed it into his head, and also they had a Roman nail, and it's not nails that we would imagine, the real sharp nails, and you think, well, bang, it goes through, instant of pain, but these were really blunt nails. They were nailed in, hammered in, and that's what he endured. But he says, Father, forgive them, for knowing what they do. So God's Son was his precious, but was willing to forgive them that hung on there, going on the cross. And he came to demonstrate a God of love. The fact that we who were far away from God, but yet the Lord Jesus, he showed God's love to us. And as we come down to verse 34, it says, and he parted his raiment and cast lots. And you say, well, what is this significance of that? Well, the significance of one thing of that is that it was fulfilled in the Old Testament. The coming of the Lord Jesus. And that was actually foretold in Psalm 22. When David, you might have heard of David, the shepherd, when he fought the lion and the bear. Well, he got lots of lovely psalms to reflect his experiences with God, but some of them were also prophetic, and he looked forward to be sort of this the Lord Jesus who would come. And in Psalm 22, it says, thinking prophetically, it says, "He part my garments among them, and cast lots upon my vesture." So it was planned from the very beginning of the earth that the Lord Jesus Christ would come and he would die. And it's not only the forecast here that we are about parting his raiment and casting lots, but also that he would be born in Bethlehem. It says in the prophets that thou Bethlehem, you far, out of thee shall come a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And also in Nazareth, there's a verse in the Bible that says he should be called a Nazarene. And that takes us back to another story in the Bible, the story of Samson. And you might have heard the story of Samson, who's a strong man. And I don't know if it's actually a strong appearance, but when God was with him, he was strong, he could kill hundreds of Philistines at once. He can kill hundreds of Philistines at once. And there's one day he came along and he found a jawbone of an ass. I think that's just what he's getting story, isn't it? But he had a jawbone of an ass, and with that he killed thousands of Philistines. And there was another day after he actually lost his sight that he was in the temple and he relied on God one last time, and he put his hands on the pillars, and there God gave him strength again, and the temple collapsed, and it said of Samson he killed more in his death than he did in his life. But that's kind of a side point, and that's not the main message I want to bring tonight. But he was called a Nazarene. So the point from here is what I want to bring you is it's forecast from the very beginning. We who were far from God in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, God created Adam and Eve, and they were given one command, and that one command was not eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Upon your dead sin came out of the world, and that separated us all from God. But God always had a plan from the very beginning, but he provided a way of escape, and that was the sending of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we'll have here. I just want to think about in verse 35, the people stood beholding him, and the rulers also. And it then was divided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself. If you read some of the stories of the Gospels, or if you've heard stories, you find that Lord Jesus did many miracles when he was here. And when he went along, people came to him gladly. But there was also a time that they were coming against him. And there was religious leaders in Israel, the scribes and the Pharisees, and they were real sticklers of the law, but also loved the positions. And they basically wound up the people to reject them. And here they say, he saved others. Let him save himself. Let him be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the point I want to sort of bring from this is that basically that we are sometimes like that. The fact that you see what Lord Jesus was perfect. He was holy. But when we see someone like that, it shows up sort of failures in our life. And because of that, there's something in human nature that when someone that's so perfect, that's so good, human nature will want to see that person fail and want to see that person fallen. And I think with a bit of that in the people there, he saved others. He could do it for others. So he should be able to save himself. Want to see him do it. Want to see if he's who he actually says he is. But there's another point in that, in this verse. And this is that by crucifying the Lord Jesus, what we're doing is we're putting him out of our mind. By Lord Jesus to being alive and preaching, the scribes and Pharisees especially, they were just hypocrites. By killing them, we were saying, well, we don't need to think of this matter anymore. And it's maybe there's someone here, and you've not accepted Christ as your saviour, and you're quite happy to think, well, he's dead, I don't need to think about that. He's a good man, but he's dead, I don't need to be challenged in my life. I don't need to think about that. Well, that's possible. What people think that they're not just accepted Christ as a saviour, and the soldiers also would mock him. It's the exact same thing. But God's actually sovereign in the fact that there's all bits of prescription over him. This is the king of the Jews. They did mock him, but God is sovereign in that matter. So I want to think of the two malefactors. I think in another gospel it says of it calls them thieves. But in this gospel it says, it just calls them malefactors. And there's one on the right hand and there's one on the left. So I want to think of three things in connection with these malefactors. One is, what did these malefactors deserve? And the second thing I want to think about is, what was their decision? And then the third thing I want to think about is, what was their destination? We read that one was saved, one was lost. Well, what they deserved, they were on the cross because of deeds that they've done in this life. As I said in another gospel, it says they were thieves. And they were there for the punishment of their sins here. And you might say, well, that's fine, we were really bad people, we tend to sort of grade sins, don't we? We tend to think, well, there's murderers, we deserve a certain punishment. And we tend to think of ourselves as better than some people, and we kind of think, well, he did that, but we're not quite as bad as that. We might only have stole some sweets, so we might only have got caught speeding, or we might only have done things like that, but Bible says we're all sinners. Romans says for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I just like these dying thieves. But as guilty as them, but we're hanging on the cross, just, well, we're not hanging on the cross, but that's what we deserve. We're there. That's what we deserve. We deserve to die for our sins. And that is a punishment. And just as they basically deserve the punishment for the sins on earth, for the wrongdoings, for the stealing, or if that's what it was, we, but for our sins, we deserve the wages of sins. And the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we, as two thieves right here, we deserve to be punished for our sins. And that is death. It's not so much death in this life, but what it is death afterwards, in the life after. But heaven or hell. We'll think of that a bit later on. So we thought of what we deserved. But we've also want to think about the decision, as I thought of. One accepted and one rejected. But it's an equal opportunity on either side. And that may be like someone here. You've been here week after week, you've listened to the gospel, you've had the same opportunity as everyone else here, but yet you've not accepted the Lord Jesus. Well, now would be the time to accept the Lord Jesus. You've had those opportunities. And we'll think about that a bit later on as well. So we thought about what deserved. We deserved basically to die for our sins, and we deserve the punishment of our sins. What I want to think about now is that's your malefactors himself. We've got the two malefactors. As we said, one is saved, one is lost. What is the difference between them, really? Well, one said, as Rachel come to it, said, if you're Christ, save thyself and us. So he was basically using language as a crowd. He was saying, if I were Christ, he wasn't really believing it, but Jesus was who he said he was. So it's basically unbelief in God. There's a verse in Hebrews, and it says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of him that diligently seek him. So this week didn't actually believe in Jesus. But I think that's like a lot of people in the world as well. We only turn to God when things go wrong. And we know that, don't we? We know that if things are going well in their life, we don't want to acknowledge that we're responsible to anyone. That we need to answer to a God. The God of creation, as we thought of earlier. But as soon as anything goes wrong, well then they're saying, well, but why did God let this happen? It's God's fault, and they'll pray to God, and then the things may be turned around, but God is a gracious God, and allow certain things to happen at times. Maybe it's not deserved. But as soon as things turn around, it begins with God again. But then we have the other malefactor. He basically rebukes everyone, doesn't he? And he says that this will not fear God, seeing they're in the same condemnation, and by that he means basically they're on the cross for our sins. And about this as well, what he's showing is that this other faith believes in God. If I want to come to God, we need to believe that he is. We can't say if there's a God out there, which you may sometimes see in some television programs and things, and people come to God, they'll say, if there's a God out there, well, those that come to God, as we hear, must believe that He is. So this thief rebukes them, and he says, we and you justly, for we receive the due reward for deeds. So this is the second thing. We must recognise that He is God, and also that He recognised it as a sinner. He says, we are here because of our sins, we deserve it. And that's what he says here. And then he says, God, remember me when I come and sit into thy kingdom. So if you want to come to God, you need to come to God and you need to accept him as our saviour. You need to accept that we're sinners. And as we were singing about earlier, then we can have that forgiveness of sins. So I want to think about now is we thought about what we deserve, haven't we? And we thought about what the decision was. Now I want to think about the destination. Jesus here, he says, verily I say unto you, today shall I be with me in paradise. And that's comforting words, isn't it? Because it tells us that if we come to God, He will no way cast us out. He will accept us. The Lord Jesus, He won't say, well, you've done too many things wrong, I'm not accepting you. Or, no, I don't want the lot of you. He'll accept anyone that comes to Him genuinely and faith, accepts Him as a saviour. He says unto him, verily I say unto you, today shall I be with me in paradise. And that's comforting, isn't it? But for one, that he'll respond, but also about paradise. And that brings us to the destination. One of these thieves was in paradise, as we've read. But what about the other one? Well, he's not in paradise. He's in another place, what the Bible would call hell. And that reminds me of a story in the Bible that the Lord Jesus tells of the rich man and Lazarus. And one had all the comforts of during his lifetime. And basically Lazarus, he wouldn't even give him a crumbs of his table. But one died, a rich man, and he went to hell. But Lazarus died, and he was comforted in Abraham's bosom there. And it tells us that there was a great gulf fixed. So that it was impossible, but even for a message to be sent to the rich man's family or anything, there was no way to go between the two. So that tells us that the decision is basically final, wasn't it? Well, paradise and heaven, where there's no pain, there's no suffering. Our place is hell, where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. One comforted, and the other in torment. And that's how it's all, isn't it? So what we have really here is what most people in the world, they don't want to think about God during their life. They think it will have a deathbed experience. They think that they can wait until the end of their life. And then, just a minute before they die, they'll have an opportunity to turn to God. But we don't actually know if that will be the case, do we? We had most of you know, we had a funeral at our hall on Friday there. And this young man that used to come along, he was my bio class teacher. And at the age of 37, he died on holiday. That's very solemn, isn't it? There's a verse in Proverbs that says, Boast not yourself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So what we thought about, and I'll just recap this for you, we thought about, Lord Jesus Christ, he was the one who died on the cross, God's only son. And he came basically because we've been separated from God. He's separated by a sin, and the sin that came from Adam in the Garden of Eden. But yet, he came because he loved us. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. So it's such a great love for God. For God to send his son, for his son to come from heaven. But then we thought about the example of the two dying thieves. One accepted them, one rejected them. They had the same opportunities in life. And basically God is not willing that any should perish, but it all should come to repentance. And he wants everyone to come to him. So if there's any here that have not accepted Christ, tonight is the night you should accept him as a saviour. Right, I'll just sing a verse in closing. I've got my hymn book. I'll sing a hymn in closing even. Hymn number 230. O sinner, the Saviour is calling for thee. Long has he called thee in vain. He calleth thee when joy went its count of thy days. He called thee in sorrow and pain. We'll sing the whole hymn, standing at sing, after introduction.